One last reading that I wanted to make that really draws the themes and the threads of all of our nine readings together and weaves them very clearly into an understanding of what this means that Jesus has come to us, his people. And that's from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, just the first three verses. It says this: "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." In Advent, we've been looking week by week, each Sunday of Advent, at the things that are unveiled or revealed by Jesus' coming. What makes it clear? What is made clear and obvious by the advent and arrival of Jesus? And so this passage shows the most important thing that is revealed by the advent and coming of Jesus. That God, when he speaks finally. He speaks eternally through his Son. That this passage shows that God's final word to humanity is not a list of do's and don'ts. God's final word to humanity is not a theological statement. God's final word to humanity is not an institution. God's final word to humanity is his Son. And not just any son, not just any child, not just any baby, but a Son who is the heir of all things, a Son who is the creator of the cosmos, a Son who is the radiance of God's glory, a Son who is the exact representation of his being, a Son who is a sustainer of all things, a Son who is a purifier from sin, a Son who is seated in victory at the right hand of God. What Jesus reveals is that when a holy and an all-powerful God speaks to humanity, the word that he chooses to speak is not condemnation. The word that he speaks to us is salvation through his Son. This is the incredible good news of Christmas. This is the incredible good news that all those passages from Genesis forward have been proclaiming, that humanity has been hoping to hear, that has been questioning, what is really God about? And he speaks so clearly, so perfectly, so finally in this Son who is a Savior. The good news that God speaks to us and he reveals to us a Son who is a Savior is good news to those who are faithful and have been looking and waiting for a Savior. Just look at this passage, this story of Christmas, the creche you put out a few weeks ago. You carefully put all the figures in place, right? You have Mary and Joseph, you have baby Jesus, you have the shepherds, you have the angels, you have the wise men. All of these figures are images of the faithful that are waiting. Mary and Joseph, who by the word of a promise, by an angel, come to this moment of welcoming the birth of our Savior, who follow faithfully the words and end up in a stable, far from home, unsurrounded by familiar faces, unsupported, worried about where their next step is going to take them, and yet faithfully waiting based on the promises. You have shepherds who are ordinary working people who are out in their fields in the middle of the night, bone tired, and yet are willing to be interrupted. by a miraculous vision of angelic beings showing up and telling them to go, and they find the Savior. You have wise men, these magi from the east, who are the descendants of Daniel. Magi are the advisors of the kings of Babylon and the successive kingdoms of Babylon, who advise and who are wise and who search for wisdom in order to guide the king. And these magi, observing the stars, see a message that there is going to be a Savior. Not part of Israel, far away. They're still faithful to a message that shows up to them, and they come to this place to welcome a son of God. And we didn't mention them, but my two favorite characters are the prophets, Simeon and Anna, who, when Jesus is circumcised, are waiting in the temple to receive him. After years and years of just as carefully searching the scriptures as the Magi had searched the skies, they have come to the conclusion that God is going to bring a Savior, a son. And they spend every day going to the temple gates, waiting for the son to appear. Their faithfulness pays off, and they see the promise of a Messiah face to face, and they rejoice. That God speaks through his son is strong encouragement to those who wait faithfully. This week, we saw a little taste of it, right? This week, people started getting vaccinated for COVID. And I don't know how you felt. Maybe you were one of those people who got vaccinated this week. But there is an incredible sense of hope. It's not the end. We know there's still a lot left to go. But it certainly was the beginning of the end that happened this week. And that brought great hope to us. How much more this Son who comes, who speaks by God, that in Jesus God has spoken that he has defeated evil, sin, and death. That what he's done in his own body first, he will then do for us. In Jesus, we see the beginning of the end of our warfare with evil, sin, and death. It's over, is what Jesus proclaims as the victory statement on his cross. It is over. The end is going to come. The faithful, those who are waiting in hope, look at this Son, God's final word, and we draw deep encouragement to face the ongoing battles that we have on a daily basis. And yet we do not face those battles without hope. Because unto us a son is born. Unto us a child is given. And the government is going to be upon his shoulders. And his kingdom is going to come. And so for you who are faithfully waiting, this is great good news that God's final word is a son born. You can draw a deep breath. You can smile. You can relax because God is working. He has accomplished salvation. He has brought his son, and you can rest. But this is also God's final word of a son born to us who is a Savior, is especially good news for those of us who are feeling troubled, who feel the weight of the world, who feel like misfits or feel like failures. This news of a Savior, a son who has come, is incredible good news to us as well. In this passage, it says, this son is the exact representation of God's being, his character. One of the reasons we feel troubled, one of the reasons we feel despondent, is oftentimes we don't understand God's character. We try to read scripture, we try to listen to Christian podcasts, we try to listen to a sermon, and we wonder at the end of it, but what's God's character? God has spoken, finally, in his Son to reveal with clarity what in other places might be obscured or opaque or hard to grasp. He has revealed his character in Jesus. And what we see in Jesus is a Savior who pursues and loves his wandering and lost sheep, who celebrates and enjoys bringing troubled people peace with God. Look at those same figures at your creche scene. Mary and Joseph, faithful. Yes, they follow this promise, but it's brought them to this place where they don't know where their next meal is coming from. They don't know how they're going to repair relationships with their family. They don't know how to raise a baby. Some of you are feeling that at the moment. And they've been brought, even through their faithfulness, to a place of trouble. Or the shepherds. They've responded. They're faithful. They've come to the manger. They're worshiping the king. And yet, these simple workmen were going to become the first evangelists of the birth of Jesus. You hear echoes of it in the story from Matthew, that they proclaim and the people start scratching their heads. Wait a minute. You? What did you see? How did you know? Have you been drinking? Those are the kinds of questions that come to the shepherds. Their faithfulness leads them into trouble. The Magi take all their vacation days to go off to a foreign kingdom to find a king. And when they come back, the king must ask them, was he born? Did you find him? What's he like? Do I need to change my plans? Should I worry? And they have to answer him, yes, we found him. And yes, you need to worry, but not in the way you thought you might need to worry about a new king. Their faithfulness leads them into a new kind of trouble of having to explain things that are hard and difficult. Or Simeon and Anna, faithful their whole lives, they finally hold the child. The promise has become flesh and blood. And there's incredible joy, and yet there's a knowing that they still have to face death and wait the resurrection and the final coming of this promise. Their faithfulness leads them into a place of trouble. And so trouble isn't just the place of those that are faithless. Trouble also is the place where those of us who look in hope, faithfully seeking, also find ourselves. But all these people, all those figures at this scene of the manger do one thing. They do the same thing. And that one same thing brings them incredible peace. They all bow to this Son of God who is born in the city of David. Mary and Joseph have bowed. They've given up their way, their will, their plans, their agenda in order to make room for this child. They have bowed. The shepherds come, and the thing they do automatically upon viewing this child is they bow. They relinquish. The Magi come bearing gifts, but those gifts represent their honoring of a king, their willingness to bend their agenda to the will of this child, this king, this son born to us. Simeon and Anna, likewise, bow and rejoice and receive. And all of them receive peace through this act of contrition, this act of bowing. Let me just speak frankly. At Christmas, we are called to bow to this Jesus who is the Son of God, who is the final word of God, who is the complete expression of God's character. That when we bow, the bowing the revealing, the relinquishing of control to this Son who is God in the flesh frees us to receive the peace that God has brought into the world. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the King who has come. He is the eternal Son of God, and peace is only found in bowing. Whether you've never done that before, or whether it's just the first time today, can I encourage all of us just to take a moment and in your hearts, bow. Would you just take a breath and acknowledge to this Jesus that he is your Savior. He is the final word from God. He has come for you. And in doing so, receive his peace. There's one last piece of good news from this passage. This is incredible good news, not only to those who are faithful, not only to those who are troubled. This is great good news to the world itself. That creation itself, it says from Genesis on, has been placed in frustration. And it groans. And it awaits. And it can't fully express itself until this final coming of the Savior, the God of glory and power, who spoke all things into being, has become, without losing any of his divinity, a human, a part of creation, who upon his resurrection has a body, a human physical body forevermore. That reality of a Jesus who takes on creation forever is an assurance that the groans of the world itself will cease, that the world will be restored, that the curse will be removed, that heaven and earth and nature will sing. God's final word is his Son, born to set his people free. And this is exceedingly good news. Okay, and the kids can come forward. And they're going to tell us exactly what's the right response for us to make in light of a Savior born to us. That's exceedingly good news. It may take a few minutes. It's not perfectly choreographed here. Welcome to Mercy.